From KUOW 94.9 Seattle, I'm Ross Reynolds. When you think of plastic surgery, you may think of lip plumping or liposuction. Well, increasingly, plastic surgeons are turning to man boobs and lady parts. Find out more as we ask the plastic surgeon. Welcome back, Dr. Phil Heck. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Ross. It's good to be back.
Dr. Phil Heck, board-certified plastic surgeon. He's been practicing here in Seattle for more than 25 years. And he's here to maybe answer your questions about this. 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. Outside our area, 800-289-5869. Or write to us, conversation@KUOW.org. Now, I was surprised to see this was something that's becoming increasingly popular for men. Some people will laugh at this. I understand it's the fourth most popular plastic surgery for men. And it's something called male breast reduction. What is it?
Well, the condition is called gynecomastia, and it just means a feminine enlargement of a man's breast. And 8% of American men have this condition. I call it plastic surgery of the taboo. These are men who don't sit around at cocktail parties and talk about their problem, and they dress in lots of ways to hide it.
What's the definition of it being a problem?
Well, it's a problem when it affects what you do, where you go, how you dress. When I have these patients, I ask them hypothetical questions. So it's a pickup game, and it's going to be shirts versus skins. What would you do? And a guy with feminine breasts says, well, I'm going to walk away. I wouldn't even take a 50-50 chance that I'd get to keep my shirt on.
And in fact, it's not being talked about a lot. There are some places on the internet, though, where people can go and kind of have some conversations about it.
Yeah, the rise in this surgery, Ross, is because of the availability of information on the internet, as other men have found men with this same problem and begun to share their feelings about it or their experiences before and after surgery.
Now, some people might be thinking, well, can't you just do push-ups? Can't you just get rid of it that way? Do you have to actually resort to surgery?
Well, all these guys have figured out that building up their chest muscles actually makes it worse, because what it does is it pushes the breast tissue out even farther, making it obvious in clothing even more.
Is it safe? First of all, what is the surgery? What goes on in the surgery?
Well, the surgery is about an hour and a half, and it's in most men capable of just taking out the breast tissue along with some liposuction of the surrounding fat. Men who have further staged gynecomastia, which is called stage 3 and stage 4, who have skin excess, more like a woman's C cup or D cup, they're actually going to need to have skin removed as well with visible scarring. So there's a trade-off for them. It takes about a year before those scars settle down, and will they still be seen in public even after a year? So they may never actually go to the swimming pool, but once they have a flat chest with scars, clothing is a better option for them. They can wear just a single T-shirt instead of three.
Surgery is kind of a major thing to go through for this. Why do men tell you they think it's worth it?
I'll give you an example of a patient. He was brought in by his wife, who had been a former patient. They had a couple little kids. And she said, you're going to work on him because we all want to go on a cruise. And he absolutely won't schedule a vacation that would involve taking his shirt off. He had the surgery, and the kids got the cruise.
Now, this actually removes a gland from the man's breast, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's apparently an unnecessary gland.
Well, all men have a small breast gland, believe it or not, behind their nipple. And up to 18 to 20% of men get enlargement of that gland for a few years during puberty. But in most men, that goes down by the time they're 16 or 17. For the other 8%, it's the hormonal stimulation of that breast during puberty that builds it up to the size of a golf ball or even up to a baseball.
Now, we got an email from someone who went to you for this procedure,
mm-hmm.
not a happy customer,
mm.
Went to you, was not satisfied with the result, feels frustrated about it, feels $5,000 poorer after having gone through the procedure. Do you often have people who come to you for this or other procedures who go, that wasn't really what I thought it would be?
And no, he's clearly in the minority, and I probably know who this is because I've only had one guy who expressed any dissatisfaction with it.
Mm-hmm.
If you went to a website called gynecomastia.com, you would find that there are literally almost 100 people who have blogged that they're very happy with the surgery that I provided for.
Mm-hmm. But are people sometimes unhappy? I mean, they come to you asking for something in particular. you can, might show them what, how you think it's going to turn out. They see it. They go, no, that wasn't really what I wanted. Or,
well, I think then I did a bad job of building up their expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So I spend a lot of time with my patients for every surgery telling them, here's what my expectations are for you, and does it match what you think you're going to get in the end result? And you have a 90% chance that my expectations and your expectations are going to match after the results.
We're talking about plastic surgery with Dr. Phil Heck, board-certified plastic surgeon. And maybe you've got a question for him, 206-543-5869. That's 206-543-KUOW. It's 800-289-5869. If you'd prefer, you can write to us. It's conversation@KUOW.org. Now, there's another kind of surgery that's on the rise. It's called labiaplasty. Would you explain what that is?
Well, here's another taboo. I don't think women spend a lot of time comparing their genitals, but women going on the internet, women have looked at porn just as much as men and have noticed that women's genitals have a certain standard, and they may not have that same standard due to excess tissue in the female genital area. So there's a surgery that removes or trims that down to a size that is consistent with what a female standard has become.
Now, the male breast reduction, the fourth most popular plastic surgery for men, is labiaplasty in that ranking anywhere? Is it?
No.
It's pretty small.
No, it's down towards the bottom of a list that women come in for asking to have plastic surgery for.
So these are norms that are kind of formed in their mind or maybe in their partner's mind by seeing pornography, and they go in to get a surgery to get it to align with that.
Yeah, the internet has really changed plastic surgery in a lot of ways,
mm-hmm.
and that's one of them.
Now, I understand this is not a procedure that you perform.
No, I have two female partners in my office who do that surgery.
Mm-hmm. And how common is it? It's not the fourth most popular as breast reduction is for men. How popular is it?
Oh, I think in our office with four surgeons, we probably have over 100 of those operations done a year.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about plastic surgery. Maybe you've thought about it. Maybe you've considered it. And maybe you've gone through with it. Tell us what your impact on that has been. And tell us what your questions are if you've got a question for Dr. Phil Heck. 206-543-5869. It's 800-289-5869. Write to us. conversation@kuow.org. There's a lot of that's changed with the internet, of course, and we also have a lot of information that goes through that way. We've talked about internet porn actually influencing people's body image. In what other ways has the internet changed your job and people's expectations of what they want?
Well, I never book a hotel without reading reviews about it, and they are both positive and negative, and it may change if I'm going to stay at that hotel or not. Virtually all surgeons and all physicians are subject to reviews on the internet as well. And there's a lot of places you can go read what other patients thought of their doctor's office, if they were seen on time, if the doctor had a clean appearance, and right down to their experiences with the surgery and how they liked it.
Now, people who run restaurants complain that Yelp, which does the same thing for them, is kind of a cesspool of bitter, angry, misguided people, maybe even competitors who are gaming the situation, both negatively and positively. It's just a place where people get their friends to do positive reviews. What's your perception of the way it's influenced your work as a plastic surgeon?
Well, I think it's mostly positive. I think as people have read reviews about plastic surgeons, they've been able to shop around and find one that they like.
Mm-hmm.
And they have also seen that there are patients who are paying attention to the kinds of things that they might not have ever thought of. And it's sort of opened up this whole world of shopping before you actually meet the surgeon.
Let's go to Peter. He's listening to us today in the University District. He's got a question about plastic surgery. Peter, go right ahead.
Yeah, I had two questions. The first is following up on what you said earlier. Does this mean men shouldn't be doing bench presses and stuff or what? And then I was going to ask you about a thing on the nose.
Well, you know, men with large breasts have found that if they do bench presses, it gives them a better physique, but it pushes the breast gland out and makes them even more embarrassed. But if you don't have a problem with it, certainly you should be doing bench presses and exercising regularly.
Peter, okay. And the second thing is, like, if you remove something like from the nose or something like that, how do you know that that won't make it worse, like the scar, you know?
Well, nose scars are generally hidden inside the nose. So there's, in a good result where you like your nose, one of the reasons you like it is the clever surgeon did all the surgery without a visible scar.
Like having a big nose or something? I'm talking about like having a little pimple and stuff.
Oh, no, that type of surgery for things that are called lesions or moles on your nose does leave a scar.
Peter, thanks a lot for your phone call. I appreciate it. If you've got a question for the plastic surgeon, give us a call, 206-543-5869. Dr. Phil Heck is with us, 800-289-5869, or write to us, conversation@kuow.org. And I'd never heard of this before. It's something called revenge surgery when people are going through divorce or separation. What's that about?
Well, you know, first of all, I'm not in favor of calling it revenge surgery, but I have had people from time to time come to me and say, well, as soon as I'm done with this surgery, I'm going to serve him papers, and I want him to pay for it, you know, because I know he's having an affair, and he's going to pay for my surgery before I go back on the market. Some entrepreneurs in plastic surgery have turned that whole situation into a title called revenge surgery, which I don't approve of. But in fact, you can ask any plastic surgeon if they've had this type of situation, and yes, it does happen.
Now, we've talked before about the difference between folks who want to look better and feel good about how they look and a whole other category of surgery that you do that involves people who have been in an automobile accident or otherwise have some severe deformities that they need to get taken care of. Of the people who come to you, are most of them coming purely because they like to look better and feel better about how they look? Do most of them come to you because they really have some serious issues like the other ones?
Well, you know, this is a great subject, Ross, because, in fact, most plastic surgery is reconstruction. And, in fact, women who have breast cancer can tell you all about their breast reconstruction. And that's a part of plastic surgery that's not sexy necessarily. It doesn't make television shows. But, in fact, the vast majority of what plastic surgeons do is considered reconstruction. A lot of it's for cancer. You mentioned trauma. We see that all the time. People who've fallen off a ladder, smashed their face, come to the University of Washington, which has a phenomenal reconstruction program in plastic surgery.
Let's take another phone call. We've got Linda on the line, and she's giving us a call today from First Hill. Linda, good afternoon. Thanks for calling. What's your question?
Hi. It's not really a question. It's just a comment that people should maybe be aware of. I had dermabrasion in my 20s because I had terrible acne scars, and I had it done twice.
Could you explain what it is for people who don't know what it is, Linda?
Top layers of your skin are sanded away to remove the scar tissue that was sort of lumpy on my skin.
Yeah, and were you satisfied?
Well, I was for several years. But then as I've gotten older, I've found that now I have like an albino face. Like my skin is a whole different color up to my jawline.
And you think that's because of the dermabrasion?
Yeah, I do.
Dr. Heck, can you talk about that?
Yeah, Linda, I'm very sorry that you experienced that. The term for this is hypopigmentation. And what dermabrasion was designed to do was to literally sand down the layers so you'd have smoother skin. But in those days, and I assume you had this many years ago, it actually took out melanin in your pigmentation system that can't be replaced. More commonly, this type of surgery is done with lasers. And in fact, over the last 10 years, lasers have been developed that can do exactly the same thing you had, but without disturbing the pigmentation so that you don't have an obvious whitened area where you were treated.
Can Linda go back and get anything redone to sort of fix this?
No, I don't think so, unfortunately, Linda. Mm.
Linda, thanks a lot for your phone call. I'm sorry we don't have better news about the impact of this, but that brings to light the fact that many of these procedures have been relatively new. Are we seeing many revisions in what we do in plastic, what you do in plastic surgery, because we realized what we were doing, before didn't really work as well as it should?
Well, you know, there's always the wish that the answer to a maiden's prayer is going to come around the corner, that this could be done with a pill rather than surgery. And so far, no one has developed that. But in our lifetime, Ross, I think we'll see even greater developments that will allow for less invasive surgery and ways to fix things that people don't like with minimal surgery.
We have time for one more quick question, so we're going to go to Kevin, who's with us today in Bothell. Kevin, go right ahead.
Hey, doctor. Thanks for being on the show. Quick question. I'm going into almost 50 years old. I've been athletic my whole life, tall, slender, but, you know, of course, 20 years of eating too many carbs. I have the little love handles, et cetera, that are almost impossible to get off with working out. And so the question is, what's kind of the current state of the art in removal of that, because, you know, you've heard over the last couple decades horror stories about, you know, excessive bleeding and it hurts.
Yeah, good one. What's the state of the art on love handles?
So if it's a small area, Kevin, You can have Zeltiq, which actually freezes the fat without surgery. You have to do it several times. It costs money, but it does fix love handles in guys.
Dr. Phil Heck, a plastic surgeon here in Seattle, thank you so much for coming by and answering our questions. I really appreciate
it. Thanks, Ross.